Today we celebrate the second Sunday of Ordinary Time. We begin Ordinary Time with the baptism of the Lord, where John the Baptist is present. And today again on the second Sunday, John the Baptist appears again. Together with this psalm, "Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will." And it's interesting that oftentimes we think of things that are ordinary as things that are boring. Almost as if we could say, okay, well, we came back to ordinary time, we went through Advent, Christmas, we're all excited about that. It's January again, it's cold, it's snow raining today, and it's kind of boring. So now we wait. We're waiting for Easter, we're waiting for something else to come. And sometimes we can skip over or appreciate less this ordinary time. During the liturgical seasons, Advent, Christmas, Lent, Easter, we're celebrating and preparing to celebrate the mysteries of the life of Christ. And ordinary time can seem like, okay, well, the church didn't know what to do, so we're going to throw these 34 weeks in there and just kind of take up some space between these big events that we're having. But no, that's not what we're celebrating. What we're celebrating is the action of the Holy Spirit in the church, in us. We're celebrating the mysteries of Christ being lived in our lives. We're celebrating our vocation to holiness, our vocation to discipleness, to discipleship, to following Christ. And the readings today are continually shouting out to us, reminding us of this vocation. Through Isaiah, "You're called not to be just a servant, but to be a light for the nations." The psalm, "Here I am, to call, here I am, Lord, I come to do your will." And St. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ. And John the Baptist, who points out the Messiah, who points out the Lamb of God. So each of us are called. We were formed in the womb. We were sent here. Sometimes we can think that our lives might be insignificant. Well, what's my vocation? My life sometimes can seem kind of mundane and the same routines. How can that be a vocation? But the impact that each one of us has on those around us is incredible. Our lives impact other people. And it's a challenge in our modern world, where if we go on to social media, everything is about self-fulfillment. Which fulfillment is a wonderful thing, but it's never alone. It's never in isolation. The other day in the city, I saw someone who was on a bike and had a bag, and the bag said on the side, "I choose to make myself the priority." I was like, well, I guess there's some ways that you could understand that in a positive sense. But if it's just an egotistical placing myself at the center of my life and being the only reason for living, there's a sadness to that. Because as human beings made in the image and likeness of God, made in the image and likeness of the Trinity, we are called to self-gift. We are called to sharing, to communion, to relation in life. We are called to receive and to give. We're not called to isolation. And secondly, we have this title that John the Baptist gives to Jesus that we've heard thousands of times in our lives. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." We repeat it in each and every Mass. It's something that we can get used to. But what is John calling out, and what would his hearers have understood? "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." With the Lamb, they would have immediately thought of the temple sacrifices, of Exodus, of the doorposts being marked by the blood of the Lamb. They would have thought of the temple sacrifices for sins offered daily, and in the special seasons an offering, a greater offering for the redemption of sins. A covering over, but a repetition that needed to be repeated over and over and over again. They would have also thought of Abraham and Isaac on Mount Moriah, today Jerusalem, where the Temple Mount would be, where God provided the lamb. So all of these things would have been going through their heads and their hearts and the disciples and Andrew, who was there listening and follows after Jesus. This Lamb of God sent by God to free us from our sins, to free us from slavery, to invite us into fullness of life, to invite us into the joy of discipleship. The assurance that God will provide. That promise that was given to Abraham, that the first disciples in their Jewish heritage had received that promise. God will provide the lamb. But not a lamb that would have to be sacrificed each day, but that would be sacrificed once and for all for sins. And the power that comes into that relationship of self-gift that Christ is giving is through the Holy Spirit, who we see on this scene, the one upon whom the Holy Spirit will come down. He is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And this image of the Holy Spirit in the baptism, which we celebrated last week, and kind of in the continuation of that in this week with John the Baptist, the dove that came upon the waters of creation, who was there from the beginning, out of chaos bringing order, out of chaos bringing holiness. This new creation that Christ is going to bring about and is going to bring about in each one of us. And that's the great news of this, that this isn't just something that happened in the past 2,000 some years ago, and now we're remembering it and it's a nice memory. But that action of the Holy Spirit, the action of the Lamb of God, is happening today in each one of us. And the joy of the Holy Spirit, and it's been something that I've been meditating on over this last week, in the baptism of Jesus, we have the voice of the Father, who is very prevalent. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. The only word that the Father says in the New Testament, everything he says through Jesus, and what he asks us to do is listen to him. Listen to his Son. Just as Mary at the wedding of Cana says, do whatever he tells you. This listening to Jesus in this new creation. There's another aspect of that, and that's the joy of the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes we don't necessarily think of that, that the Holy Spirit is a spirit of joy, and one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is brings joy into our lives. But he does that because he is joy. And the joy of the Holy Spirit coming down upon Christ, confirming him as the Son of the Father, confirming him as the Lamb of God, carrying out this mission in him. And it's a mission for our lives as well. The Holy Spirit reveals, confirms, and gives us the power to become disciples. For these mysteries that we're celebrating in ordinary time to be lived out in us. That it's Christ living in us, working in us. And this Holy Spirit leads us to this call to discipleship. Not just for Jesus. And the Holy Spirit in John the Baptist, when he says, when he sees the Holy Spirit come down and upon whom he remains, that word remains is very important. Throughout the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come and would inspire the prophets in different moments. But there wasn't the permanence. The permanence comes with Jesus remaining. And it's beautiful because the next step to discipleship, the passage that follows immediately after today's gospel, where the disciples go and follow Jesus and they go and ask him, Lord, where do you dwell? And it's literally the same word, where do you remain, literally? Where do you remain? And Jesus turns to them and with these beautiful words that he also speaks to us, come and see. And it says immediately after, and they went and saw, it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They wanted to remain with him. And that's the invitation for us. And the question for us as we begin this new year, what do you seek? And Jesus responds to us. He asks us that question. What's our response to them? Are we looking for Jesus in this new year? Looking for him in all the different circumstances of our lives? where we reach out to Him and we ask Him, Lord, where do You dwell? Where are You dwelling in this situation in my life right now? Where are You dwelling in my family? Where are You dwelling in this sickness? Where are You dwelling in this new opportunity? Lord, where are You present there? And the only thing that He asks us to do is come and you will see. As we enter into this new year walking with Him, being carried by Him, seeing how He is working through us, around us, in all of these circumstances of our lives. And He's working in our lives because we are called, like Isaiah, like the psalmist, like St. Paul, like the first disciples and apostles. So the invitation is that this year be a year of discipleship, a year of response to the Lord, so that we too can shout out with the psalmist as we look upon Jesus with John the Baptist, who says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And our response as believers, as those who want to become disciples of Jesus, is, "Here I am, Lord. I come to do Your will."